You're listening to the Ranch Church podcast. For more information and service times, go to ranchchurch.com.
Okay, one of my favorite phrases is open your Bibles. Open your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 20. I have a text that we're soaking in a good bit here, and we're going to talk about transformation. We're going to talk about transformation, and we're actually going to meet the Hansen family in a few minutes as we talk about transformation, as they talk about their son who I introduced you to last week. Let me read this text. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 20. Now in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also wood and clay, some for honorable use, some for dishonorable. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from what is dishonorable, he'll be a vessel for honorable use, set apart as holy. Listen, church, here's what I want you to underline in your Bibles. Here's what I want you to underline. This phrase, useful to the what? What's it say in your Bible? Say it out loud. Useful to who? Useful to the master. Say master out loud. Useful to the master of the house. Ready for every good work. A phrase I want to give you as the title of the message is Jesus is transformation. Jesus is transformation. So if you Google, for example, transformation, or you go to YouTube, you'll have all these social media things that will come up, and they're not necessarily bad, but let's talk about those for a moment related to transformation. There'll be the transformation about weight, and there'll be the transformation about beauty, and there'll be the transformation of your finances, and there'll be the transformation of your house or room or all of those kind of things. There's things that are talked about in there. That word transformation is dominant. Transformation about fashion, transformation about style. It's a real common thing on search engines right now, the idea of transformation. Jesus is transformation. Jesus is transformation. He doesn't want to just change your life. He wants to transform your life. Those are not the same things. We can have external transformations, and some of those are appropriate. You want to have a better shirt or better clothes, or perhaps you want to upgrade your home or just clean out your stuff or that, whatever the case is. My wife and I went on a walk yesterday, and somebody was cleaning out their garage, and they said, "I'm done being a hoarder," and they were cleaning out the garage. Okay, well, amen. Well, things are fine. But Jesus' transformation is a transformation of your heart that begins with the salvation of your soul. That no one can stop. That transformation that starts inside the heart, when Jesus gets a hold of that, the biblical language is called being born again, being baptized of the Holy Spirit. No one can stop that. And it's a blessing that comes with powerful, powerful waves. Jesus is here saying, now related in part to John chapter 14, now in a great house. Look at that phrase in your Bible, now in a great house. Not just an ordinary house, in a great house. A reference to Jesus' teaching, I believe, in John chapter 14 when he said, in my Father's house. My Father's house are many mansions, King James English, many rooms, many places in my Father's house. My Father, according to John 14, is this great house. The vessels are really simple. The vessels are everyday instruments. They're forks. They're knives. They're spoons. If it's nautical, if it's a ship, then it's actually the ropes that bring up the sails or the sails themselves. In other words, with this phrase, the vessels of gold and silver, and some for wood and clay, some for honorable use, others are dishonorable, are simple everyday instruments. And so God is saying, I want you to be the simple everyday instruments that I transform and use for an honor and use for glory and use for good. Cleanses is really fascinating here in the text. If anyone cleanses himself from what is dishonorable, it means that you can be cleansed. Anybody up for a cleansing today? Raise your hand. Anybody want to be cleansed today? Yeah, amen. Love me, Jesus, right? So So cleansing is fascinating because in the original language, the word is related to our word cathartic. In fact, we get our word cathartic from it. It has the idea of relief. Want some relief from life today? Yes? Give me that shout amen, right? Amen. Yeah. You want some release from the weight of the world? You want the backpack of your life to be lighter? Well, then you can cleanse yourself and experience that. That's this word related to our word cathartic. So we can be cleansed. We can be these common instruments useful to the master of the house. Earlier in the chapter, if you go back to our earlier teachings, here's the teaching of a soldier and an athlete and a farmer. This is all the beginning of chapter 2. I believe that Apostle Paul here is referencing those things, talking about being this vessel of honor. And so you can be, by the illustration earlier in the chapter, you can be this soldier, this athlete, and this farmer of honorable means, of honorable use to the master of the house. I want to give you this phrase. Write this phrase down. Tap it in your digital device. Write this phrase down and tap it in your digital device. There is nothing, nothing, nothing like being used by God to change another life. There's nothing like that. Nothing like being used by God to actually change another person's life. Write that down. Write that down. Put it on a card like this, or put it on a reminder so that you put it on your mirror and you see that throughout your day. You go, there's nothing like being used by God to change another life. So make me then, God, that person that you want to use to change another life this day. Wake up tomorrow. This is Sunday. Wake up on Monday morning. If you don't pray, if you don't think about anything else, if you don't do anything else, then get a card like this or write it on your digital device or do whatever it takes for it to be written before you and stop and say, God, I'm going to the ranch church. I really don't know about that pastor, but I'm there. And he says there's nothing like being used by you to change another life. So use me this day. Use me this day in some way to be part of your kingdom and your economy and your love and your good to somehow change another life. There's nothing like that. We tend to think that it's all about the things that we want to be right with us that God will use. The truth is, that the teaching of Scripture is that God has chosen, according to Corinthians, the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. In other words, I'd like to sit there and say, oh, let me tell you how great I am and all the great things I do, and therefore that's why God uses me. You know what God says to that? Bleh. You know what God uses? This was Thursday night when the elders were praying about this. Well, God, we come to you as seems like foolish men. We put a property in escrow. We don't yet know exactly how we're going to pay all these bills. Nobody's great. Nobody's deserving. And we offer to you actually some pretty broken fragments of humanity. Would you take that, God? Did you take all like the broken places of our life? Would you let us lead your church? Would you give us faith to trust you for more? Would you do that, God? What does God say to that? Yes, because I'm opposed to the proud, according to James, but I give grace to, what does that text say? The humble. So the idea of being this vessel for honorable use isn't because we're all that. It's actually that God will take your limitations and turn them into your greatest blessings. He will take your liabilities and actually transform them and make them your greatest strength. Did you catch that? That's genuine grace doctrine and gospel preaching. Your liabilities, which you don't like, I don't like my liabilities. Do you like your liabilities? I'm thinking you don't like your liabilities. God says, but I will use those and make them your greatest strengths. Let me invite the Hansen family up right now, and if we can get their mics ready to go. And we're going to talk for a few minutes with them about their son, Nate, as it applies to this idea of being this vessel of honor and also the nature of transformation. And let's have a little chat with you. Hey, welcome up the Hansen family. Okay, yeah, you guys stand right over here. So we're going to get you a mic. There you go. You're going to have to eat the mic, okay? You have to. So eating the mic is like this. So listen, just a couple weeks ago, their son at the age of, how old is he?
He was 20 years and one day the day he performed that, which
before
you saw.
That? Okay, so he's 21 years old, and he's on national television for American Ninja Warrior. I hope you guys all saw it. Is that incredible? Did you guys see it? Now listen, how tall is your son?
5'2".
Mama, what does he weigh?
115.
He's 5'2", 115, and he's a young man. So he crushed the course when everybody before him had basically failed it, and he crushed it. He crushed it. So tell me, Papa, about him. At what age did he stop growing?
So he started to slow, originally born in like 90 percentile when he was born. He was actually a big baby. And somewhere around sixth grade, he really started to lower in the pack when you saw him amongst his peers. And by ninth grade, it was really pronounced. I remember, though, in sixth grade, he tried to play tackle football, and I literally could see the fear in his eyes. Because he was so, the difference was starting to get there. And he would avoid contact, and I literally had to go to the coach and say,
"Smart to avoid contact."
Yeah, he's just trying to run him off the field, not hit him. And they actually put him a division down, and he still was reluctant to contact. And he's not a scared young man, but I saw that in his eyes for the first time.
Let me ask your wife, Stacy. Let me ask you what it was like as a mama to watch your boy go through that. I know he had many social and internal challenges. Can you speak to that? What it felt like even to you?
Yeah, he was remarkably shorter. So at 5'2", at 14 is one thing. At 16 is another. At 18 is another. And so he has this personality and this drive of leadership. And so it was this cultivating of his heart, regardless of your stature, here's what you're called to. And we don't move to go to anything, they come to us. And so even today, thank you, Facebook, reminded me that he was his DECA president. And like words I spoke over him continually is that you just show up with integrity and do it, and it doesn't matter. You just do the work, regardless of what the outcome is in the moment. But it is hard, especially like with girls. Like, it's really hard. But thankfully that worked out for us because we don't have to deal with that right now.
So now we go through high school. We can kind of fill in the gaps. We can understand the rejection, the challenges, the pain for you guys. You try treatment plans and all the things. Okay, so now we graduate from high school. He is awarded a unique scholarship opportunity to study. You guys came out from Colorado, so now he's there. You're here. American Ninja Warrior. Tell us about that. How did he get involved in this gym that opened up suddenly for him and the person God brought to us? Tell us about that.
Well, yeah. So he actually had started high school at 4'8", and through treatments got to 5'2".
He's 4'8" in the beginning of high school?
Yes. Yeah, so he literally would come home crying at the beginning of high school because of the things that would be said to him. But he overcame that with encouragement, reminding him who we saw him as and who God saw him as. But yeah, 5'2" by the time he graduated. Between the time he graduated and the time he started his freshman year, God just so opened the first of a chain of ninja gyms right there next to Boulder, and he was one of the first employees. He had wanted to do this through high school, but because of the logistics of our family and the finances, it wasn't possible. So he would play on the playground. That was his closest thing. He would create ninja courses on the playground. So they opened the place. He's the first employee of the month, and He gets hired and promoted by the end of his first day of regular work to be trained by one of the ninjas from the show for the first 6 months.
Yeah.
So one of the things that he missed is that we watched the show since we were seven. Well, since he was seven. And when we moved from our small town in Colorado to a big city for other reasons, our neighbor happened to be one of the highest ranked competitors on the show. So we would be at the gym with him and we would be at the park with him. And he kind of took Nate under his wing and was super kind to him. And so what the other piece was is that we were here before this was home. We were at Los Olivos Elementary and my kids were playing American Ninja Warrior. We were at Solvang Park playing American Ninja Warrior. There was never a time or any park or any place or any tree with five boys that wasn't an American Ninja Warrior course. But in a move that we thought would be extremely healing for our family that ended up looking nothing like we thought, positioned him for success.
Yeah, so the transformation is that God gave him the scholarship. Put this...
Keep going. He'll fix it.
He put this opportunity right in front of him. Then, again, kind of like almost like Joseph, like these opportunities keep falling in front of him to be literally mentored by one of the top competitors.
Yeah.
As his, and getting paid to do so. And so all the things, all the internal work on character that God had done during those hard times where he questioned himself, not nearly as much as other people around him did. All of that, I say like the pilot light of athletic pursuit that was there in high school just went into an inferno once he became employed by the gym. And then you saw it on NBC.
Let me ask your wife last question. Great job. So if I understand this, he is he weighs how much now?
115 pounds.
He weighs 115 pounds. He's 5'2", right?
Correct.
How much lighter is he than the average ninja competitor? Because it's a unique body type. You don't want to be bottom heavy going through all of those courses. And so how much lighter is he?
He's probably about 30 to 40 pounds lighter, even with guys with 5 to 6 inches on them. So if they're maybe, 5'8", 6 foot at 165 is usually the competitor that he's competing against. Mm-hmm. The heavier guys can't move that body weight. They usually fall off of stuff. So the thing that was his quote-unquote disadvantage is actually his advantage in the sport.
Isn't that amazing? And he's strong as an ox. I mean, he is really strong, and his body weight, which was worked against him beforehand, is actually the single physical thing that actually helps him to excel now on that stage. Go ahead.
Yeah, proportionally he's strong. And actually last night when we were talking to him, he said, yeah, I was training this 13-year-old girl who's stronger than me. but you know, when we talked to him about after the show aired and, you know, they had a viewing party there at the gym and many kids who he trains, who you'll see on the show in the future, his great takeaway was how the kids were inspired and the money that he raised for Children's Hospital, where he would have to go to be reevaluated for his growth deficiency, was the same area where kids with cancer would have to go for their blood work. And so his great takeaway was the inspiration that he gave to other people and the money he raised for these kids with much bigger obstacles.
Oh, that's beautiful. Mama, last word, and we're going to get on to preaching.
This is kind of preaching. And you gave me the microphone.
Amen. Yeah, yeah.
So in regards to his perceived disadvantage, one of the things that could have worked against him, not only his height, but his wingspan. So to be able to have that be that short in stature, you typically wouldn't have the wingspan to be able to land some of the obstacles that are coming up. And he does. So the things that didn't grow, he still is proportionally set up to win when he shouldn't be.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, guys. Can you take that back there? Thank you, guys. Thank you, guys. Church, I wanted you to hear this story. It's really rather phenomenal. I think you can fill in some of the gaps as we think about the family challenges and the unique things that we go through. And yet, and I didn't even spend much time telling you that this young man loves Jesus. He really does. And he is just rock solid. And so as we talk about transformation, I want to jump here into some thoughts about Peter. I want to reference related to being a vessel of honor, and being transformed. I want to talk about Peter at the end of John's gospel. So Peter at the end of John's gospel is going to experience some transformation. Now, Peter's sort of the guy that you want to kind of talk about for a moment. Like, we always criticize Peter in the gospels. We look at Peter in the book of Acts, and we want the guy Peter, book of Acts guy. You know, he stands up and he just proclaims supernatural power, and he's on his A game, and he's actually following. But Peter is a wealthy businessman. He owns lots of boats, and Jesus has told the boys, go to the northern part of Israel and wait for me. Okay, how well do you do waiting? Yeah, that's what I thought. Okay, so now Peter's waiting. And he's waiting and he's waiting and he gets tired of waiting. So he decides to go fishing. This is the end of John's gospel. This isn't fishing where you and I take a stick or a rod and we go out there and we go, okay, I'm gonna have, no. He's leaving the ministry, going back into commercial fishing, and the boys are going with them. They're throwing the commercial nets off to the side and they're catching nothing. They're catching nothing because we catch nothing when it's of ourselves. Then Jesus is on the side of the road. Jesus is on the side of the road. And he says to him, hey, why don't you try something on the other side? Well, they could have had a lot of words for Jesus, like, well, why don't you get in the boat and help us? They don't recognize him as being Jesus. So they throw the nets over the other side. These are large nets, requires great physical strength to work it. And so they throw the nets over the other side. And now there's so much fish coming, they can't even hold it again in the nets. I know what that means. So John says to Peter, can you say it with me? It is the... It's the Lord. All right, you got to love Peter, right? You just got to love Peter. I mean, he's just such a typology on our humanity because all the boys are working. They're working hard. They're working hard. This is a physically challenging thing. What does Peter do when he hears it's the Lord? He jumps in the water like Forrest Gump, right? He just jumps in the water. Like, well, we're not done working. You know, like we have a lot more fish to pull up. And this is hard. And so he goes, and then the Lord is there, and the Lord has breakfast. And we don't know how the Lord makes breakfast. I mean, maybe he did it the way you and I would make breakfast. Or, you know, we know in Genesis, let there be light. He simply said, let there be light, and there was light. We don't know if he said, let there be breakfast. And it'd be really good breakfast. Peter is there. Jesus is there. And the teaching goes something like this. Jesus sits Peter down and says, Peter, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? That's the transformation. And at the very end, he says, related to tend the lambs and feed the sheep, he's saying, will you love them? I'll give you all power and all authority, but will you love them? Will you love me and will you love them, Peter? I'm about to baptize you with something of myself that's supernatural. I want to know, will you love them and will you love me? Will you love me first and will you love them? This is the transformation that Peter undergoes. And our transformation is equal and as profound as well. God is going to work in your life and he is going to give you spiritual freedom. God is going to work in your life and he's going to give you spiritual gifts. And God is going to work in your life and he's going to give you fellowship. He's going to give you those things. This is the Christian life at its sweetest. This tremendous spiritual freedom, tremendous spiritual gifts, and wonderful, wonderful fellowship. Part of what we enjoy here on a day like today. God's job is to save and grow you. Your job is to make yourself ready. God's job is to save and grow you, and your job is to actually make yourself, as the text says, ready for every good work, to be ready for the Lord Jesus Christ to do that supernatural work. And that supernatural work requires crossing certain lines. Will you invite Jesus Christ in your life, you make him the center of your life. Will you understand and truly believe internally that God loves you? God loves you. He loves you. He loves you. And he has a plan. Join that plan. Second problem, that issue that goes on there is a confession that you have to have in your heart that the sinful nature of humanity is something that is upon you and you have to be free of it. And you cannot be free of it by self-effort. You cannot be free of it by any kind of monetary gain. You can't be free of it through church attendance. You're free of it by a personal relationship with Jesus Christ because he will break that chain. Third, You have to invite Jesus Christ to be the center of your life. I like people to think about an orb and a circle out here, and you're the center of that circle. Jesus Christ is outside. So many people like to say, I want him to be in the middle. The truth is, if he's not in the center, then he's outside. There's another orb, there's another world here where Jesus Christ is the center. He's actually in the center, and you actually live in relationship with God, but he is God, King, and Lord. He is the director of your life, the guide of your life, the truth of your life. He's the baptizer of your life, the transformer of your life. This is the kingdom of God, and this is the kingdom of blessing and joy and power and abundance. And this is the kingdom of man, which is carnal and full of lawsuits and loss and death and anger. And the list goes on and on. The promise of Jesus is to take you there and put you here in the kingdom of God. This is what you're designed for him to live. But you have to, by faith, choose to leave the kingdom of man and enter into the kingdom of God. I'm going to pray and ask you to make sure that you have moved from the kingdom of man and that you have placed yourself in the kingdom of God, for this is God's will for your life. Amen? Join me in prayer, church. Join me in prayer. I'm going to pray briefly, and then I'll invite some of you to join me in prayer. Lord Jesus, I pray now, God, that we would have you in our lives and that we would have left the kingdom of man. And so I pray for my friends right here, Lord God, who need to transition away from the flesh and the kingdom of man and enter into the kingdom of God by faith, to know that you love them, that you have forgiveness for them, that you have grace, and that you have truth for them, that you have transformation of their lives. And so I pray now, Lord God, that we would enter into your kingdom. If you need to enter into the kingdom of God, pray this prayer out loud right now, right now. Pray it out loud and don't be shy. Repeat after me. Lord Jesus, I need you to be my God, to be my Savior, to be my friend. Take away my sin. Take away my shame. Take away my guilt. Thank you for loving me and save me this day. I pray, Jesus, now in your name. Amen? Amen. If you prayed that prayer, I want to talk to you right when I dismiss this right here. I want you to come up and say, Pastor, I prayed that prayer. If you need prayer, I want you to come up right now and come and pray. I believe God has special words for people today, and I want you to receive them. Love you guys so much. This is a beautiful day in God's cathedral, yes? Oh, so good, so good. Go in the power of the Holy Spirit and enjoy the blessings of God and do everything he commands of you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to the Ranch Church Podcast. For more information and service times, go to ranchchurch.com.